Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Hello, I'm Tom Gilson, and I'm pleased today to bring you an interview between radio host Michael Medved and the Center for Science and Culture's John West.
And on the Michael Medved Show, I've been proud to be involved with the Discovery Institute, by the way, for going on 20 years, partially because they do such a superb job of bringing to people's attention research and history that is often obscured. And that is the case with this latest project by John West. John is the director and writer of the new film Human Zoos. Also, Dr. West is the vice president of Discovery Institute right here in Seattle, and he is a former professor at Seattle Pacific University. John, it's great to speak to you about this. Now, to give people some sense of what we're talking about, maybe you can describe what is really the shocking focus of Human Zoos, which is in the 20th century, there was an exhibit in the Bronx Zoo, one of the most important zoos in the country, in which they had brought over an African to be displayed in a cage together with a monkey.
Yeah, his name was Otubenga, and he was brought over and displayed in the monkey house, in the primate house, in a cage with a monkey, and more than 200,000 people came to visit it. It was sort of the sensation, and he was displayed pretty much to show that he was one of the missing links between humans and apes. And, you know, that's why he was put in the monkey house. And this was done, as you mentioned, the Bronx Zoo is one of the premier zoos in the nation, it certainly was at the time. And so this wasn't just done as a freak show or a sideshow. This was done as science.
And what about Otubenga, the young man who was displayed? How did they come to him? How did they get him? How did they persuade him or force him or bring him to the Bronx Zoo?
First came to America actually a couple years before then because there was an even larger display of indigenous peoples at the St. Louis World's Fair, where they brought people, thousands of indigenous people from Africa, Asia, the Philippines, South America, to put them on public display, often behind fences where people could sort of stare at them.
Also, in safety.
Correct. And also sort of promoting them as lower stages of human evolution. The St. Louis display was actually run by a scientist, an anthropologist named William McGee, who wanted to show the pantheon of human evolution from the lowest to the highest, which of course, in his view, the highest were sort of the Teutonic males. And then the lowest, closest to the apes, were some Filipinos and also pygmies from Africa. And so that's how Otubenga first came here. They actually sent someone out to Africa, someone who purchased him at a slave auction. They still had slavery there in part of Africa at the time, and then brought him here. Then he went back, but then he came here again with the same explorer who brought him. But that person then left and sort of deposited him in the Bronx Zoo for this display. And along with a monkey that he had also brought from Africa.
Did Otubenga get out eventually, or get out of the behind bars in the zoo?
So he was occasionally let out during the display, but then they put him back in, and he was subjected to people throwing things at him. It was really not very humane at all, let alone degrading. But then there were local people. There were some African-American ministers and one white Baptist minister who, on the basis of their Christian convictions that all people are human beings and created in the image of God, they raised a ruckus. So he ultimately did get out but it's actually a very sad story. So he got out and was able to, they educated him some. He ended up moving to Virginia eventually. He wanted to go back to Africa, but by this time World War I was taking place, which, although was primarily in Europe, was also the colonial powers were ravaging Africa, so he couldn't go back. And at the very end, he ended up committing suicide because he was distraught.
How old was he? Do we know?
He was in his, by the time he killed himself, he was in his upper 20s, I think close to 30.
He was wow, it's 32. I just heard him, but still, what a horrible story. Why is it important now that we be reminded of this extremely dark chapter in our past? And it's not just the St. Louis World's Fair, and it's not just the Bronx Zoo. This was shockingly common, wasn't it?
It was. So even here in Seattle, there was something called the Alaska-Yukon Exposition in 1909 that brought some similar indigenous peoples here to put them on display. And again, to try to show that these were sort of lower stages of humanity. And this was done on the behest of science. Why is this important? Fortunately, we don't do this now, but I think there are several lessons. I'm a great believer if we don't learn about history, we end up sort of repeating it without thinking or in different ways. One thing is the reason to have healthy skepticism, even not just about religious people, not just about politicians, but also about scientists, experts, media. The Oda Benga and these other stories, interestingly, in New York, it was the Christian ministers, both black and white, who raised objections to this. I'll tell you who didn't. The leading scientist at the American Museum of Natural History, the leading scientist of the country, and the leading media outlets, particularly the New York Times, which editorialized at the time, and we cover this in the documentary using the exact words from the editorials, they couldn't understand what the fuss was about. Why were people so concerned about this this African pygmy who they thought was low on the human scale? Why are people so upset? And to my knowledge, the New York Times has never sort of owned up to its role in fomenting some of this. But I think it's a cautionary tale that even experts can be wrong, and that we should have healthy skepticism, and also the role of that Christians and Jews and others can actually play in defending human dignity, which they have throughout history. And then even more directly today, unfortunately, there are some on the so-called alt-right who are resurrecting these arguments for scientific and Darwinian racism that were rejected by the scientific community and are actually using it as part of their arguments against immigrants, against people of different races. And certainly today it's not mainstream, fortunately. It's the fringe, but those arguments are being propagated on the internet by the alt-right.
And should be resisted, of course. One of the things that I was thinking of when I was looking over the material from Human Zoos, and by the way, people can see this film just go link to our website. It's just been released on YouTube after being shown on cable TV, and released previously on Blu-ray and DVD. So it's up at YouTube. You can link to it at michaelmedved.com. I was thinking about this, John, because we've had many guests on over the years from PETA. And they would object and they'd say, John West, here you are so self-righteous about human beings being displayed in zoos, but what about the other primates? What about our first cousins and close cousins? Isn't it cruel to display gorillas and chimpanzees and orangutans in zoos as well?
Well, you know, I would actually say that I would not defend some of the practices in zoos across history. I think humans are unique and special, but I think part of being unique and special, I agree with my colleague Wesley J. Smith, humans have duties. And so I think that some of the ways that we have treated other animals, and particularly primates, is not appropriate. I think zoos have come a long way in that. Of course, I deeply disagree with PETA's approach that there really is nothing substantively different between human beings and other animals. But, you know,
well, that's something that those pastors who objected to this practice of human zoos got emphatically right, that human beings are different. What a pleasure speaking to John West, a vice president of Discovery Institute. If you go to our website, to michaelmedved.com, you can click on this fascinating film, which is now available on YouTube. It's called Human Zoos. When we come back,
that was an excerpt from The Michael Medved Show with Michael and John West, discussing West's new documentary, Human Zoos, America's Forgotten History of Scientific Racism. It won awards on the film festival circuit, and it's now available for streaming at YouTube and Amazon Prime. Check it out. For ID the Future, I'm Tom Gilson. Thank you for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.